Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Solar energy is still in its early stages in Wisconsin, but there has been marked progress as the state moves toward a goal of carbon-free by 2050. Still, policymakers say growth in our state is slower as compared to other states due to burdensome regulation. Today, we are joined by two Republican legislators, Representative Scott Krug and Senator Dewey Strobel, who have introduced a community solar bill, reintroduced a community solar bill that's been opposed by the utilities and some other organizations, but we're going to talk about that today. So welcome to you both.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, yes.
So while we know there's some disagreement on how to expand community solar in Wisconsin, would you both agree that there's a need to really do more to expand solar broadly in the state?
Well, I think so, because, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is, you know, Wisconsin's a net importer of energy at this point. I mean, it's time for us to really open up the options for, you know, whether it's growers and producers in my district or whether it's residents who live in an apartment building in Milwaukee, whatever the case may be. It's just time to expand access, and at the same time, expanding that access adds more energy to our grid.
Has the growth rate been too slow on solar?
I believe so, and I think what this bill really does is it allows more avenues for power generation. And instead of just the investor-owned utilities, we're going to have other sources. And what that does is it creates competition, and competition creates more affordable rates. And that's really what we need in the state of Wisconsin, because our energy rates are high compared to others in the Midwest. And this is part of a solution to fix that problem.
So we're going to talk more about what the bill does and doesn't do, but I want to spend a little time looking at how much solar energy we are producing in Wisconsin. We're showing some data from the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. They shared this in their November report. They say Wisconsin's solar resources contributed 10% of the state's renewable sourced electricity generation in 2021. Coal, still the largest source of electricity generation at 35%, but that share is decreasing. Natural gas resources accounted for 33%. All renewable energy sources are also increasing, with solar accounting for about 0.5% of generation in 2020. That's up from 0.1% that it was in 2015. So if you're looking at those numbers, what grade would you give Wisconsin in terms of its solar energy generation and access?
Well, I think I'd give ourselves a pretty low grade right now. I mean, just look at your pie chart. I mean, there is not a lot produced by solar. And so I think we need to be an all-of-the-above state in terms of our power generation. And again, what we're trying to do is create more options, more cost-effective options. And this community solar bill is going to do that. And the only way they're going to succeed is if they are more cost-effective than what the investor-owned utilities are. And if they are, they will succeed. And if they aren't, they won't. But the developers are very confident that they can succeed and that they can generate power more cost-effectively than the investor-owned utilities.
Representative Krug, when you look at that pie chart and that change from 0.5% generation 2020 to less than 0.1% in 2015, what's your reaction to that?
It's time to, you know, gear up. It's time to be ready. So in my district, we have, you know, one of the biggest hydroelectric generation capacity on Lake Peatonwell and Camelot. So when we look at renewables in my district, it's nothing that people are unfamiliar with. So there's a clamoring for people to be able to want to do more. And right now, it's, you know, the ability for people to do more is hindered by regulation. And that's the problem we have right now, is opening this up for market-based competition to get rates to the point where everybody can afford it, give landowners some options of their own to be able to say, okay, I have some land, I'd like to guarantee some income off of my land. We're not able to do that in Wisconsin right now, and that's why those numbers are low. because we don't have the options for people to do what they want to do when it comes to solar energy.
So let's talk about what the bill does. Mm-hmm. It's closing for co-sponsorship today. We're talking on Tuesday afternoon. What was your pitch to what the bill includes to get legislators to sign on?
Well, one of the things is, right now the investor-owned utilities, there's no local buy-in on these projects. They're not approved locally. They're just, we're going to put it here, and that's the way it happens. And the scale of these things is just massive. And whereas with community solar, we're talking about probably 35 acres total, and it requires a supermajority of the local planning board, whoever that may be, in order to permit one of these to occur. So there's going to be community buy-in if these happen. If the community doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. But with the investor-owned utilities right now, their solar arrays are, again, no local input, and that was a big problem. That was one of the big things that made me support this, that it would be something that locals would support.
Well, and the bill also has customers subscribe to with a solar entity, correct? Is that how it will work?
Well, and that's the nice thing about this. Being a subscriber-based option is something that we can go back to any utility when the rates are set by, or the rules and regulations set by PSC. We're going to be able to go back to any investor that comes in and say, okay, it's available. Go find the subscribers, show us that it's a realistic option. Create it, build some arrays with local jobs and hiring local individuals to help build these. So, I mean, the subscriber base to it is a great idea because you're going to have an anchor to each of these projects, whether it's a grocery store or a school or a small to medium-sized employer, where individuals around that area will be able to buy into it as well. So it's going to help benefit the cost that they pay at the grocery store. It's going to help benefit their cost and their electric bills. It's going to support the community, and it's going to create more green options. I mean, this is a win-win option for all of Wisconsin because you've got all the political sides that should be there coming together, the far left and the green side and the far right and the open market type people, all open to this idea and this concept around the country that 22 other states are already doing. It's just time for us to kind of jump in on the same thing.
You mentioned the support on both sides of the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of your co-sponsors, do you have any solid bipartisan support yet?
Not yet, but we think that we can get there. As people are learning more and more about this bill, we've got the Farm Bureau on supporting us this time with this bill, and the grocers are there. So there is a large contingency of people that are supporting this bill. We always want to work with them. We always hope that they will come and understand that this all makes sense for our state. And we've got a great group of people right now. We just hope to grow that, and I expect we will.
So I mentioned at the top of the show that the utilities are opposed. This bill was introduced previously, also had strong opposition from the utilities. They issued a strong statement when the bill draft was put around for co-sponsorship, and it says the bill would chiefly benefit the out-of-state community solar developers at the expense of the non-subscribing customers. Meanwhile, the developers would benefit from using Wisconsin's electric grid with no obligation to maintain service and reliability to prove the generating asset is necessary or cost-effective, or to be a provider of last resort, as Wisconsin utilities are required to do.
Yeah.
Are they correct?
No, I don't think so at all.
But are they going to be regulated as a utility, these solar providers?
So every project, whether it's the big utility project or the small community solar project, are going to be regulated by the PSC. It's point blank simple as that.
Do they have to follow all the rules that utilities do, and why or why not?
The PSC is going to set the parameters for how these community solar projects can work. Simple as that.
Yep.
If you like what the PSC does, and obviously the investor-owned utilities do, well, it's going to be the same entity that's going to be making the rules for community solar.
And when we talk about necessary, they mention that whether these projects are necessary or not. I mean, Wisconsin is still a net importer of energy of all states around us. When Illinois is doing this, Minnesota is doing this, and Wisconsin's importing energy from those states, we have to do something because it is absolutely necessary to do something.
And again, when you look at our utility costs, they're high.
And this will guarantee
absolutely.
Bring
this
costs.
This will well, they will, in order to be successful, it will bring costs down. And of course, these developers, they're not going to do this unless they feel they can be competitive. They feel very much so that they can be competitive with the rates in the state of Wisconsin. And again, when they're competitive, the consumers benefit. And that's really what this is all about. And again, everything they do is going to be monitored and controlled by the PSC, just like the investor-owned utilities. No difference.
No, the utilities say that they're the ones on the hook for ensuring that the network is reliable, that these community solar providers don't have any of that responsibility.
Well, the PSC is going to make sure the investor-owned utilities own facilities to the infrastructure to transfer the power. The PSC will make sure that these community solar developers pay for every penny of the value of that infrastructure to transport the power they generate. So there's no free rides for anybody. The PSC will be making sure that they pay full boat for every use of that infrastructure that is owned by someone other than them. So to think anybody's getting a free ride here is just it's a misrepresentation.
Well, and I think beyond the PSC control, every community is going to have these conversations amongst themselves. I mean, that's part of this bill. Two-thirds majority of a local board to make this decision on top of PSC regulation is just guaranteeing that we have every set of eyes on this possible. So constituent input across the board, PSC regulation on the backside of it. The investors are going to want to make sure they're going to be able to make a profit. If it's not profitable, they're not going to do it. And PSC is going to regulate it, and the towns are going to say yes or no. I mean, we cannot put any more controls in this than we have already just to say we'd like to have an option.
You know, the utilities say they're already working toward this carbon-free net zero goal by 2050, and that their solar generation plan is aligned to that to make sure that all Wisconsin consumers, and they emphasize the all, can have access to affordable solar energy. Mm-hmm. That this bill isn't necessary because they're already working on this and everybody's going to benefit. Is that not true?
That's great, and they are working on it, but why should they be the only ones working on it? Why can't others also help in generating solar power? There's no reason why they should be the only one doing it. We think others should be able to also, because again, we all benefit when there's more consumer choice, there's competition, and there'll be lower power rates. That to me is really what this is all about. And if I had the monopoly, I mean, I guess if someone who has the monopoly, they might like keeping the monopoly. But we don't think that that's really the role of the PSC. The role of the PSC is to serve the people of the state of Wisconsin. And to best serve the people of the state of Wisconsin, we need options, we need competition, and that's what this is all about.
When you talk about lowered costs, I know a lot of times people point to Minnesota, and they say when community solar came to Minnesota, that it added $5 a month to the utility bills for non-subscribers. How do we guarantee that doesn't happen in Wisconsin?
Well, that's where we work with the PSC and the regulators, just to make sure that everybody's voice is heard. When those hearings happen at PSC, we'll have the investors there, we'll have the communities there, we'll have everybody involved at the table having that discussion. And, you know, as we start working through this bill, there's nothing saying that we can't find ways in this bill to find more guarantees to make it more amenable to other people. Senator Strobel and I have said across the board we're willing to have a conversation with anybody. Municipal utilities would be great, you know, if we could have, you know, a conversation here even with Bill and others just around the table to say, hey, this is where we're coming from. We'd still like to have those conversations to ensure that we're not going to have any problems with this bill on the backside of it once it's implemented.
You don't think there's going to be an increase for non-subscribing people?
No. I mean, that's an apples to oranges comparison. It's really irrelevant what they did there.
Our program won't look like Minnesota.
No. We're regulated in the bill by the PSC. Minnesota's bill isn't regulated by their Public Utility Commission.
Okay. So that's not a fair argument.
Not at all.
This bill we mentioned was introduced 2 years ago, died in committee, didn't get a hearing. What has been changed to address maybe concerns that people had about the bill 2 years ago?
Well, I think more and more people have learned about this bill, began to understand it, and I think once they do learn and understand about the bill, you got to support it. It's just a win-win all the way around.
I mean, I'm a great example. I wasn't even a co-sponsor on the bill last session because I didn't really grasp the concept, right? So as more legislators, and this happens with bills all the time, they don't make it through the first time, might take 1, 2, 3 sessions. The second session around, after seeing mega projects developed in Wood, Adams, Washera, and Portage County that I represent, and the angst that people had about the land use and local control and all of those things, taking a look back at the bill, I should have been a co-sponsor last session. And I think that's why we picked up 10 or 12 more co-sponsors than we had. It's because other legislators are having those local experiences like I had, where they can jump onto this and say, hey, this is something that we need to have, you know, put in place in Wisconsin so people have choice, cost supports, not having this jammed down their throats and thousands of acres of, land eaten up. So I just, that was my experience, was just not knowing enough about it, and I think other legislators are following suit.
And it's great for agriculture, too. It provides another income stream, and that's why the Farm Bureau's on. Maybe you have some land that isn't quite as high performing, and now you can really have a nice source of income stream by dedicating it to solar energy production for a period of time. So it really helps diversify our ag economy, and of course that's huge in Wisconsin.
I know that Senator Cole said he hopes the bill comes to his committee. Have you talked to leadership? Do we think that the bill will be able to get a hearing this time around?
We're sure very hopeful of that, and I think that we will. We're looking forward to, success is having this bill become law. Now, whether that's this session or not, but we're going to work towards that till it happens.
And on the Assembly side?
There's never any guarantees that any bill gets a hearing. As soon as it gets introduced, we'll get it to whichever committee it goes to. We'll talk to the chairman of the committee and pitch our case and make sure that we can be heard and advocate the heck out of it to make sure we can get a hearing. But, everything in the legislature is fair game. The committee chairman are going to decide if they want to hear a bill, and leadership will weigh in, of course, and it's our job to convince them that's a great idea.
But the thing that's different this time around from 2 years ago is just kind of the snowballing of support.
Right. Yeah, right, definitely.
And it's just the groups that you see coming on board that weren't there before. The Walmarts of the world, the Kohlers of the world, the grocers of all people coming forward saying, hey, we might want to be anchor spots for some of these projects. So that support on the outside and now the support on the inside of more legislators, I think, has given us a lot of momentum.
Mm-hmm. The bill talks about renewable energy credits that are created from a community solar facility's production, are the property of the subscriber organization. Why are those renewable energy credits not available to either the utility or the consumer?
That's really a function of the finances of these. How the developer decides to utilize that in enhancing the feasibility of what he's doing, really, that's up to them. It's a federal program. Yeah. We don't control it, and that's a side benefit. But what I will say is that the state of Wisconsin won't be subsidizing these things in any way, shape, or form. So again, it's market-driven. We're not looking at public subsidies to make these things make sense. They're going to stand on their own, and they're going to be a benefit to consumers, or they won't happen. That's how this bill is being constructed.
So you don't think there are incentives necessary in order to grow solar in Wisconsin?
No, not what the developers are telling us. And, again, the federal government, they can do what they do. But as far as the state of Wisconsin, these are it's a market competition that has to stand on its own.
Well, and it's so interesting is that when you have those cases like I had in my district where people are saying, well, what's going on with this scale of this project? They're not arguing against solar energy. They're arguing about being able to have the input. They're arguing about where it's located. They're making arguments that make sense, but they still are clamoring for the ability to use solar. And I think that's why we're taking on this project, is because the groundswell of support from the left and the right of individuals in our communities back home who wants solar energy to lead the way for Wisconsin makes this bill imperative to get across the finish line. We just don't have the capability without something like this.
So if I'm a non-subscribing customer, like I'm not going to participate in community solar, but mm-hmm. there is going to be a community solar project mm-hmm. within my utility, what are the benefits to me?
There's certainly no downside, but again, we just want more people involved in this industry. More people involved with generating power through solar. And so I see no downside to that. I only see a benefit. And for the non-subscriber, if we can create power more cost-effectively, that's going to create a downward pressure on rates. So therefore, ultimately for the non-subscriber, we'll hopefully see some lower rates because there is not competition right now in the state of Wisconsin. This will create competition. Competition drives down costs. So I believe ultimately everyone can and will see lower rates because of the competition that's been introduced.
I imagine even as a non-subscriber, if maybe I had an electric vehicle by chance, the grid is not ready for Wisconsin to have as much EVs as we would want. So if a non-subscriber is an EV driver, there's a benefit to them because we're going to be able to generate enough power to the grid for that non-subscriber to take advantage of the new generation that we're creating. So there's ancillary benefits to it. Maybe their benefit is that the local grocery store is saving cost on their electricity and they're able to lower their prices. So non-subscribers are going to get benefits that way. It's not just I don't subscribe, there's no direct benefit. There's community benefits for all the non-subscribers as well.
And again, we're a net importer of power.
Right.
That just is one more thing to help reduce that problem.
Mm-hmm. There's also been some concerns raised that the bill doesn't do enough to require evidence before construction, that there's enough subscribers already signed up. I think in the bill it's a 60%. Why not raise that minimum? Or is that something that's up for negotiation? 75% subscriber proof?
We can talk about that. Sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're laying cornerstones here. We're not saying that the bill is written as is, has to be done as we wrote it. We want to have those conversations. We'd love to have input from the Democrats in the Assembly and the Senate. You know, knowing other states and the projects they've passed and the bills they've passed, having wide bipartisan support are similar to this. It would be great for them to have those conversations with us to say this is our problem with the bill. Maybe that's one of the issues. We don't know. We're just not hearing from them currently. But those are things that we can always talk about as we move this through the process. But public hearing is that first step. You know, and giving our constituents a chance to come talk about this bill in public in the light of day to give them all an opportunity to tell their story is what's going to create even a better product at the end.
And you also have to understand that with an investor-owned utility, their capital investment, that's funded by the ratepayers. Right. So, and in this instance, the capital investment is not funded by the general ratepayers. It's funded, I mean, you're subscribing, but there's no risk, really, in terms of the risk is purely by who is subscribing. There's no public risk or anybody who doesn't want to be involved. There's no risk, and they're not funding the capital improvements that are necessary. Unlike the investor-owned power companies, you are funding their capital improvements. In community solar, you're not funding those capital improvements.
So it sounds like this bill, I just have the early draft here, could be heavily amended throughout the committee process. Is that what you're anticipating?
Well, I've never, you know, in my 12 years in Madison, maybe yours too, I've never seen a bill as written get through the finish line without some sort of a change. I mean, that's the whole story here is that if people want to start coming to the table because they're hearing more about it, plenty of time for conversation. There's an opportunity for anybody that has an idea to come forward and say, what about this? We're not experts in anything as legislators. We want to hear that input from the community. We want to hear it from stakeholders. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we create the best product we can.
Shifting a little bit to the federal government, which you mentioned before, the Inflation Reduction Act, bringing lots of money in Wisconsin, incentives for expansion of all renewable energy, including solar. Do you have an opinion about how that Inflation Reduction Act is or isn't working in Wisconsin to support expansion of solar and renewable energy?
Well, I think it will help some, but you have to understand before the Inflation Reduction Act, the wheels are already turning on community solar. So it might make it more viable, might be helpful in some regard. But again, I'm interested in market competitive power being generated in the free market. That's my interest and always has been. And that's what this bill is all about.
Yeah, I mean, the Inflation Reduction Act has got some things that are beneficial, but it's not going to be around forever. And that's why we create the legislation that lasts the test of time, is that we're going to have a role in crafting this every time the project comes up. So Inflation Reduction Act credits or not, you know, we're going to have investors who are going to want to come to the table, talk to our communities about finding options to bring a new generation to our communities and across the state of Wisconsin. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, whether you have an apartment building in Milwaukee or whether you live in the middle of absolute nowhere, these projects can be a reality with just community support. So federal government will do what it does. Yeah. You know, Senator Strobel usually tells me. And it's just, you know, we'll move beyond them.
Right. So. And again, our power rates are high. And not only does that affect the consumer, it affects, you know, we have a lot of industry here too. And when you're trying to compete with other industry and your fixed costs are higher than other areas, that puts you at a competitive disadvantage. And that's what we're trying to square that away a little bit.
We are on the eve of the first Joint Finance Committee hearing. I know you'll be on the road with the committee hearing from people across Wisconsin. Do you think you'll be hearing about energy issues, maybe even solar? Do you anticipate this coming
up? Oh, I definitely think we will. And we will be hearing about energy issues because we've seen what has happened to our power bills as of late. Yeah. They've increased way too much. And again, this is another mechanism to create competition that's going to create more of an open and free market to drive those costs down, hopefully. Again, you know, you look throughout the Midwest, our power rates are out of line with the rest of the Midwest.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great example, and we talked about a little bit off air, the things that happen at home are the things we bring to the Capitol. And I've got five, quote-unquote, adult children, that I call them, that are out of the home, living on their own, and their costs are just through the moon, especially when it comes to their electric bills. And it's something that makes it hard for young individuals to be out on their own. It makes it hard for senior citizens to maintain their fixed budgets. It makes it even more difficult for families to make ends meet at the end. So it's just, it's one of those things that we've got to find a way to lower some of these costs for people because of the, you know, inflation that we've been generating and dealing with the last few years here. And now with electrical costs going up, we've got to take a step forward on lowering and giving people options.
The governor's proposed budget includes doubling funding for Focus on Energy, which is the popular energy efficiency program that the state operates. Is that something you support, or what should be in the budget around energy?
I haven't looked specifically at the numbers yet, but I mean, people need to do what makes sense. And I don't think we always need to have a government subsidy to do what makes sense. I remember it wasn't all that long ago where they were paying you to use LED light bulbs. Well, LED light bulbs made a whole heck of a lot of sense. The government didn't have to pay for part of my LED light bulbs to convince me to use them. And I think oftentimes the power of the future is kind of a step behind, and anybody who's, you know, using common sense maybe has already moved on, and some of these incentives aren't always necessary to do something that is just plain common sense.
Is there anything that should be in the budget around energy, would you say?
I think we've got some investment capital type issues that we have to discuss and discuss, you know, see whether they're merited or not. But that could be something that we could look at.
What should the future of solar energy be in Wisconsin?
It should be freedom. It should be access. It should be equality. It should be that I have a chance to decide for myself if I want to take advantage of solar energy or not. I mean, that subscriber idea, the local control idea, those things that we've set up to increase generation to the grid, I mean, that's what the future of solar has to be, is free and open so we can expand a lot quicker.
Your final thoughts on the future of solar in Wisconsin?
It will be competition that's going to help us control our energy costs in the state of Wisconsin. Anytime the consumer has choice and we introduce competition, it benefits the residents of the state of Wisconsin. And that's why we're here, to make life better for the residents of the state of Wisconsin. And I believe this bill will be one of the things that can do that.
All right. Well, we'll be watching at this session. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for the time.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.